Welcome back to the deep dive. This time, we're going deep on parent-child relationships. You've given us some interesting stuff to work with.
Yeah, it is an interesting mix.
Yeah, we've got excerpts from this guide, Navigating Challenges in Parent-Child Relationships, and some really interesting photography, too.
It is a cool combination.
Yeah.
Blending practical advice with these, like, visual snapshots.
Yeah, exactly. I have to say, just looking through this stuff, I'm already like, uh-huh. But before we go too deep, let me ask you this. Have you ever felt like you're just figuring out this parenting thing, like, day by day?
I think every parent feels that way.
Right.
No matter, like, what your background is or your parenting style.
Right. It's like we're all in this together, learning as we go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what this deep dive is all about. We're going to unpack some of the big ideas from your sources and give you some, like, practical tips and new ways to look at those, like, everyday parenting things that come up.
I'm excited to dig in.
Yeah. We're going to look at communication strategies that work, setting boundaries that make sense, and even some of those more modern parenting things like screen time and blended families.
Those are really relevant topics.
Yeah, they are. So let's jump right in. The guide really stresses that every parent-child relationship is different. What makes these relationships so unique?
Well, there are so many things that shape these relationships. Of course, there's the child's developmental stage, like where they're cognitively, emotionally, even physically, it's always changing.
So, like, just when you think you've got it figured out, everything changes.
Right. On top of that, you have things going on outside the family, like school friends and, like, trends in society. It's kind of like a puzzle where the pieces keep moving.
So challenging, but exciting too, I guess.
Exactly. No two journeys are the same. The guide actually gives this relatable example. Think about a toddler who wants to cuddle all day. Then the next day, they want to do everything themselves.
Yeah.
Those changes can be tough. But if you see them as part of development, you can be more patient instead of getting frustrated.
It's about meeting them where they're at developmentally.
Right.
Instead of trying to force them to be a certain way.
Exactly. And those changes can be like whiplash.
Yeah.
Especially as kids move through those stages.
Yeah.
The guide highlights all those different stages.
Yeah.
You know, infancy, toddlerhood, then those teenage years.
Oh, the teenage years. The guide focuses a lot on that.
Yeah.
And I think for good reason.
Yeah.
It's such a time of big change, physically, emotionally, for both the teen and the parent.
Like a roller coaster. Remember what it was like to be a teenager? All those hormones needing to be independent, but still needing guidance.
Oh, I remember. And now I'm trying to tap into those memories.
Yeah.
You know what it felt like to be in their shoes? The guide actually says to think back on your own teenage years.
Yeah.
What helped you feel understood? What made things worse? And then use those experiences when you're interacting with your teenager now.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We often forget what it was like.
Totally. And while we're talking about how our experiences affect our parenting, the guide makes a point about how much our own behavior affects our kids.
Oh, yeah.
It says our kids are like sponges, taking in everything we do and say, and often copying what they see us do.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The guide points out that this applies to good and bad behaviors.
Right.
If you're stressed and yelling all the time, your kid might start having trouble controlling their emotions.
So it's not just what we say, but how we live our lives.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
It's not about being perfect, because who is?
All right.
But it is about paying attention to the messages we're sending through what we do. Even small changes can make a difference.
Love that. What's one little thing you think people listening could do today? To model good behavior.
Well, even if it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Talking kindly to, like, a customer service person on the phone can have an impact.
Okay.
Or, like, making a point of saying thank you more often.
Oh, yeah.
Even for small things. Those little acts of kindness can be really powerful.
Yeah, they are. Those little eyes are always watching.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about something a little more serious.
Okay.
But really important. The guide talks about recognizing when your kids might be having a hard time.
Yeah.
It says that the signs aren't always obvious.
Sometimes it's those little changes in behavior, the things we might just think are a phase,
right,
that actually need us to look closer.
Exactly. The guide says that sometimes things like headaches or stomach aches can be how kids show stress.
Oh, wow.
Their bodies are trying to tell us something's wrong, even if they don't know how to say it.
It's like their alarm system is going off, but they don't know how to read the signals.
Right. Other signs might be things like suddenly not wanting to do the things they used to love, or a big drop in their grades.
Yeah.
We don't want to jump to conclusions.
Right.
But sometimes those are signs that something more is going on.
And that's where trusting our gut comes in.
Yeah.
If something feels off.
Yeah.
Even if we can't put our finger on it. It's worth looking into.
The guide really stresses that getting help is a good thing.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to talk to your child's doctor, a therapist, a counselor at school, even other parents who might be going through the same thing.
Yeah.
You are your child's biggest advocate.
Yeah.
There's no shame in asking for help.
So many resources out there. Okay. Let's move to something a little more positive.
Okay.
The guide talks a lot about the power of communication, especially active listening.
That sounds simple.
Right.
But it can be tough to actually do.
I know, I do it.
Especially in our busy lives.
I know, I'm totally guilty of multitasking while my kids are trying to tell me about their day. But the guide makes a good case for why active listening is so important. What does active listening really mean? And why does it matter so much in parent-child relationships?
Active listening is like being all in,
okay,
both mentally and physically.
Yeah.
Put your phone down, make eye contact, really listen to what they're saying. Even if it sounds like nothing important.
So they know they're heard.
Yeah.
That their thoughts and feelings matter.
Exactly. You're not just hearing words. You're understanding what's behind them. What are they feeling? What are they trying to say, even if they don't have the right words?
It's about reading between the lines.
Yes. And sometimes it's about making time to talk where everyone feels safe. The guide mentions having family meetings.
I've heard other parents say they love family meetings.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm interested.
They can be a great way to communicate openly. Everyone has a chance to share what they're thinking and feeling.
So it's not just complaining,
right,
but also celebrating good things,
yeah,
talking about exciting things.
Exactly. Planning fun stuff together.
Yeah.
It's about building those family bonds, making sure everyone feels heard.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. Okay. Let's tackle another big topic, boundaries and discipline. This is tough for a lot of parents, I think, myself included.
Definitely.
It's like this constant back and forth, trying to be supportive, but also set limits.
It is a balancing act. The guide says something interesting. It says that setting clear boundaries actually makes kids feel more secure.
Really? That seems counterintuitive.
I know. I used to think that too. But think of it like a fence around a playground.
Okay.
The fence lets kids run around and have fun, but they're safe.
So we can think of boundaries as guidelines,
yeah,
to help our kids.
Exactly. And you got to be consistent. If the rules are always changing, it just gets confusing.
Right.
And then you get power struggles.
So it's about setting clear expectations and following through.
Right. So they know what to expect.
Makes sense. The guide also emphasizes that discipline should be about respect and understanding.
Yeah, not punishment.
Right.
Or trying to control them.
So it's about teaching and guiding.
Yes. Helping them learn from their mistakes and become more responsible.
I like that. Now, I know we've covered a lot of basic ideas, but I want to make sure we talk about some of those modern parenting challenges.
Yeah.
The digital age. It seems like it's both amazing and scary for parents.
Definitely. It's a whole new world.
It is. And the rules seem to change all the time.
They do.
The guide covers everything from screen time to social media and keeping kids safe online. It can feel overwhelming.
Yeah. It can. And like we said before, technology is always changing.
Right.
So it feels like we're always trying to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
What can parents do to manage all this? How can they embrace the good stuff about technology while also keeping their kids safe? The guide says to start by talking openly with your kids about their online world.
Okay.
Find out what they're doing online, who they're talking to. It should be a conversation, not a lecture.
So coming from a place of curiosity and connection, not fear.
Right. And you also need to set clear boundaries about screen time.
Yeah.
Just like we set limits on other things in their lives.
Right.
We need limits on technology.
So that could mean like tech-free zones in the house, setting time limits on devices, maybe even using parental controls to see what they're doing.
Exactly. Find what works for your family and be consistent.
Yeah.
And just as important is being good role models ourselves.
Right.
If we're always on our phones, that's what our kids will think is okay.
It's about walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Exactly. And remember, the internet can be a great tool for learning and connecting, but you have to use it responsibly.
Speaking of families, the guide also talks about the challenges and opportunities of blended families and co-parenting.
Those are situations where you need some special skills.
Yeah.
And you got to put the kids' needs first.
Yeah. Even when it's hard.
Even when it's really hard.
It's about working together to make a good environment for the kids.
Right. Even if you have different parenting styles, the guide says clear communication and respect are key. You got to find common ground. Set consistent rules and boundaries in both houses. and make sure the kids feel loved by both parents.
I bet that's tough, especially if there are still hurt feelings.
It can be. The guide talks about having regular family meetings with both parents.
Okay.
Even if it feels a little awkward.
Yeah.
Just so everyone is on the same page.
It's about putting the kids first.
Right. Even if it means putting our own feelings aside.
Yeah. And sometimes that means asking for help.
Definitely.
Whether it's family therapy or just a friend to talk to.
It's okay to ask for help.
Right.
Now, we can't cover every parenting challenge today, but I do want to mention something that deserves its own deep dive.
Yeah.
Supporting kids with special needs.
Yeah.
It's a big topic.
Yeah.
But the guide points out how important early intervention is.
Yeah.
And that parents are their child's biggest advocate.
Early intervention can make a huge difference.
It can.
And parents are usually the first to notice that something might be different.
Exactly. Parents know their kids best.
Yeah.
The guide encourages parents to trust their gut. Get a professional help if they need it. And be proactive about finding resources and support.
There are so many great resources out there.
There are.
From therapists and specialists to support groups and online communities.
It's all about building a support network.
Yeah.
For you and your child.
And remembering you're not alone.
Exactly. So many other families are going through the same things.
And speaking of support, it's important to remember that we as parents need support too.
Yes.
The guide talks about how parental stress can really hurt relationships.
We put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect.
Yeah.
We forget that we're human too. We have our own needs.
I used to think self-care was selfish, but now I realize it's so important to being a good parent.
Yeah.
If I'm not taking care of myself, I can't be there for my kids.
What does self-care look like for you?
Honestly, it's the little things. A 5-minute meditation, a walk around the block, hot bath, even just saying no to one more thing.
Yeah.
It's about making myself a priority, even if it's just for a few minutes each day.
It's not about being perfect.
Yeah.
It's about making an effort to take care of yourself.
It's like putting on your own oxygen mask first.
Right. Exactly. Sure. And speaking of oxygen masks, I think we need to take a little break and catch our breath.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Sometimes we need a minute to process everything and let it sink in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A break is a good idea. It's a lot to think about, you know?
Totally. Like taking a deep breath before we dive back into parent-child relationships. Speaking of deep dives, I'm curious about those pictures you chose. What made you pick those specific ones?
The thing that really struck me was the emotions in them. Like, there's one of a parent and child just laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Like, pure joy. It reminds you that even with all the challenges of parenting, there are those moments of real connection and fun.
Yeah. It's like a reminder to lighten up a bit.
Exactly. And then there's this other one that got me. It's a parent teaching their kid to tie their shoes. It seems simple, but there's so much in that moment. It's about guidance and patience and support.
Yeah, like those little everyday things. Yeah. You're not just teaching skill. You're also building confidence and connection.
Exactly. And it reminds you that those little moments could have a huge impact on how our kids grow.
Yeah.
And there's another one that really got to me. It's a parent holding their kid's hand as they walk down a busy street.
Mm.
It's about protection and safety, you know? Like, we're there for them as they figure out the world.
Like, we're their safe place.
Exactly. Now, going back to the guide for a sec.
Okay.
Spends a lot of time on boundaries and discipline.
Yeah, which can be tricky for parents.
Uh-huh.
I know I've had my fair share of struggles.
Me too. There's so many different ways to approach it.
Right.
It's hard to know what's best for your kid and your family. The guide really stresses that boundaries and discipline are not about punishment or like trying to control your kids.
Okay.
It's about giving them structure and guidance so they can do well and make good choices.
Like giving them a map with clear directions.
Exactly. You're setting limits, but in a loving and supportive way.
Yeah.
So they don't feel trapped.
Right.
They feel safe.
And the guide also says consistency is key.
Oh, yeah. If the rules keep changing,
right,
it's just confusing.
Yeah.
And it leads to power struggles. When you're thinking about discipline,
okay,
the guide suggests focusing on things that teach respect and understanding, not fear or shame.
So instead of yelling or punishing, maybe talk to them calmly about why what they did was wrong.
Exactly. And what the consequences are.
Help them learn to be accountable
right.
for their actions.
Exactly. Teach them to make better choices.
I like that. And I think that ties in with something else the guide talks about. Finding that balance between giving kids independence and still guiding them.
It is a balancing act. It changes as they get older.
Right.
What works for a 5-year-old won't work for a 15-year-old.
So it's about adjusting as they grow, giving them more freedom as they show they're ready for it.
Exactly. And you know you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
We're all learning as we go.
True. Parenting is a journey, not a destination.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about this before, but I want to bring up stress again.
Okay.
How parental stress affects relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The guide talks about self-care for parents.
Yeah, it's so easy to forget about taking care of ourselves.
Right. We're so busy taking care of everyone else.
Yeah.
But the guide says self-care isn't selfish.
Yeah.
It actually helps you be a better parent.
When we're stressed and tired, it affects how we interact with our kids.
Absolutely.
So self-care is really important.
It is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah.
What makes you feel good? What helps you recharge?
Mm-hmm.
Try to make time for those things.
It could be anything, really.
Right.
A few minutes of meditation, reading a book, listening to music.
Yeah.
Maybe even a massage or a yoga class or a walk outside.
Just find what works for you and make it a priority.
It's about giving ourselves permission to do things for ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No guilt. You deserve to feel good.
And when we feel good, we can be better parents.
I agree. Now, before we move on, I want to talk about something else that's really important. Helping our kids become independent and resilient.
Yeah, especially in today's world.
Right. There's so much pressure on kids.
We want them to be confident and capable.
Yes.
And to be able to bounce back from setbacks.
How do we do that? Where do we even start? The guide says start small.
Okay.
Encourage them to make choices, even little ones.
Like what?
Like what to wear. Or helping plan dinner.
Okay.
It gives them a feeling of control,
yeah.
Even in small ways.
They get to practice making decisions and solving problems.
Right. And as they get older, you can give them more responsibility.
Maybe managing an allowance.
Yeah.
Or helping with chores.
Exactly.
Or planning a weekend activity with friends.
Right. Be there to support them, but you know, let them make mistakes and learn from them.
It's hard to watch them struggle.
I know.
But we have to let them.
We do. Those struggles are how they grow.
Yeah.
And remember, resilience isn't just about big setbacks.
Right.
It's about learning how to handle everyday stress, too.
Yeah, so it's about giving them tools to manage stress and their emotions.
Exactly. You can teach them things like deep breathing or mindfulness,
yeah,
or exercise.
And we can show them how to do these things ourselves.
Absolutely. Create a safe space for them to talk about their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And teach them that it's okay to feel sad or angry or scared.
Right. It's all normal.
And you can help them develop what's called a growth mindset.
What's that?
It's the belief that you can get better at things through hard work and practice.
So instead of saying, you're so smart, we can say, you worked really hard on that.
Exactly. Focus on effort and learning.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to something we mentioned earlier, spending quality time together.
Yeah. It's so easy to get busy and forget to just be present with our kids.
I know. It's not just about being there physically.
Uh-huh.
But mentally and emotionally. Put down your phone.
Yeah.
Turn off the TV. Really connect with your kids.
Those moments of laughter and silliness and connection.
Right. They don't have to be big or expensive.
What kind of things are you thinking?
Reading a book together, playing a game, going for a walk, having a conversation.
Yeah.
It's about creating little rituals of connection.
I like that. And being intentional about those moments.
Exactly. Let your kids know that you love spending time with them. Here, before we move on to our final thoughts.
Okay.
I want to talk about something that's really important in today's world. Helping our kids develop emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Emotional intelligence is being able to understand and manage your own feelings,
mm-hmm,
and the feelings of others. It's so important for having good relationships, resolving conflict, and being successful in life.
So how can we help them learn this?
The guide says the best way is to be good role models ourselves.
Yeah.
If we show them how to identify and talk about their feelings in a healthy way.
Yeah.
They're more likely to learn how to do it, too.
Lead by example.
Right. And create a safe space for them to talk about their feelings, even the hard ones.
So let them know it's okay to feel sad or angry or scared.
Absolutely. And help them find healthy ways to deal with those feelings.
Like what?
Talking, writing, drawing, exercising.
Give them a toolbox.
Yeah. And be patient. It takes time to learn these skills.
Yeah. I'm still learning, too. Now, I want to switch gears a bit and talk about something I'm passionate about. Raising kids who love to read.
Reading is so important.
The guide says reading helps build vocabulary and knowledge and empathy.
It's true. Reading opens up a whole world for kids.
Yeah, it does.
They learn about different cultures and perspectives and ideas.
It helps them think critically.
Right. And it helps them understand the world around them. And it's not just about school.
Yeah.
Reading can also be fun and relaxing.
A good book can take you anywhere.
Exactly. Huh. It can help you understand your own feelings and experiences.
Yeah.
So how do we raise kids who love to read?
Right.
The guide says start early.
Yeah.
Even babies benefit from being read to it.
Yeah.
It helps them develop language skills, yeah. And it's a great way to bond.
And as they grow up, keep reading to them, but also let them pick books they like.
Yes, and encourage them to read on their own.
Make reading part of your family life.
Right.
We can be role models by reading ourselves.
Yeah.
And create cozy spaces where they can relax with a book. And don't forget about the library.
Oh, yeah. The library is a treasure trove.
It is. Okay, we've covered a lot today.
We have.
And I'm sure our listeners are feeling a little overwhelmed.
It's a lot of information.
Mm.
But I hope it's been helpful.
I think it has. We've talked about understanding how parent-child relationships work, how our own behavior affects our kids, the power of communication, the challenges of boundaries and discipline, the importance of self-care, and getting support.
And we've talked about some of the special challenges of parenting in the digital age.
Right.
Blended families supporting kids with special needs.
It's been a lot.
It has.
Okay, before we wrap up, I want to go back to one of the main things that's come up today. How important it is to help our kids become resilient.
Resilience is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ability to bounce back from tough times, to cope with stress and change. It's so important for being happy and successful.
How do we teach our kids to be resilient?
The guide has some good advice.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is to be resilient ourselves.
Okay.
Kids learn by watching us. So if we can show them how to deal with stress and bounce back from setbacks, they're more likely to learn to do it themselves.
So we have to walk the walk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And create an environment where it's okay to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage them to try new things and to see failure as a chance to learn.
Let them know it's okay to fall down.
Right.
As long as they get back up.
Exactly. And celebrate their effort.
Yeah.
Not just their achievements. Praise them for trying hard and never giving up and learning from their mistakes.
Focus on the process.
Right.
Not just the end result.
And help them build a strong sense of self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Remind them of their strengths and talents.
Yeah.
And encourage them to focus on what they can control.
Empower them to believe in themselves.
Exactly. Now, before we move on to our final thoughts, I want to touch on something we often overlook. The importance of taking care of ourselves.
Self-care for parents.
Right. We've talked about all the demands of parenting.
Yeah.
The challenges of relationships, helping our kids through tough times.
It's easy to forget about ourselves.
It is. But we can't give if we're running on empty.
That's true.
Self-care doesn't have to be a big thing.
What kind of things are you thinking of?
Make small choices every day that help you feel good.
Okay.
Maybe take a few minutes to meditate, read a book, listen to music, or schedule a massage, take a yoga class, go for a walk in nature.
Just find what works for you and make it a part of your routine.
Exactly. Remember, you deserve to be happy and healthy.
Yeah.
And taking care of yourself helps you be a better parent.
Absolutely. Okay, before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to go back to the photos you chose. And see if you have any last thoughts.
There's one image that keeps coming back to me.
Okay.
It's a parent and child just sitting together watching a sunset. It's so peaceful and connected. It reminds me that sometimes the best moments as a parent are the simple ones.
Yeah.
Just being with your child, sharing an experience, making a memory.
It's a good reminder to slow down and appreciate the little things.
Yes. And there's another one that stuck with me, too. It's a parent and child working on a project together.
Mm-hmm.
You see how focused and happy they are. It's about collaboration and teamwork.
Yeah.
It reminds us that parenting is a partnership.
That when we work together, we can do amazing things.
Yeah. Exactly. I think those are good images to keep in mind as we go on this parenting journey.
It's about those simple moments, those shared experiences, that love and support.
Right.
Okay, expert speaker, before we wrap up, I'd love to hear your final thoughts on what makes a parent-child relationship really thrive. What are the key things?
Well, I think it comes down to a few things. Love, respect, communication, boundaries.
Can you say more about those?
Sure. Love is the most important thing in any relationship.
Yeah.
Especially between a parent and child. It's about showing them you love them no matter what. Accepting them for who they are. Supporting them through good times and bad.
It's about creating a safe space for them to be themselves.
Right. And respect is just as important. It's about treating them with kindness and dignity, even when they mess up.
Mm.
Listening to them, understanding how they feel. recognizing that they're their own person.
They're not just mini versions of us.
Exactly. And communication, of course.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that.
We have. It's about having honest conversations with your kids where they feel safe to tell you anything.
Yeah.
It's about listening to them, really listening.
Mm.
Asking questions, trying to see things from their point of view.
So they know they can trust you.
Right. And finally, boundaries. Boundaries give kids structure and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having clear rules and consequences and being consistent.
So they learn to be responsible and make good choices.
Exactly. So when you put all those things together.
Love, respect, communication, boundaries.
You create the perfect environment for your relationship to grow.
That's beautifully said. Okay, expert speaker, before we sign off, I'd love to hear your thoughts on just how powerful parent-child relationships are.
They really are amazing. They affect who we become, how we see the world, how we treat others. They can bring so much joy and love.
Yeah.
But they can also be hard and frustrating, sometimes even heartbreaking.
It's a whole range of emotions.
It is. But I think that's what makes them so powerful.
Yeah.
They make us grow. They make us learn. They make us better people.
They teach us about patience, empathy, forgiveness, unconditional love.
And they remind us how much we influence other people's lives.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks.
Okay, expert speaker, last question. What's one piece of advice you'd give to all parents, no matter how old their kids are?
Be present.
What do you mean by that?
Be present in the moment with your child without distractions.
Oh.
Listen to them. Watch them. Engage with them.
Okay.
Put down your phone. Turn off the TV. Just be there with them.
Okay.
Those moments of connection are so precious.
Yeah, they are.
And they'll last a lifetime.
It's about the quality of the time we spend together.
Exactly.
Okay, expert speaker, that's a perfect place to end. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. It's been wonderful having you on the Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.
You know, building on that idea of self-care and support, I think it's important to remember that asking for help isn't a weakness.
Yeah.
It's actually a strength. Remember that part of the guide about external support systems?
It really highlighted how important it is to reach out to family and friends.
Yeah.
Or even professionals when we need help.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the pictures you picked that really stuck with me was that one of the group of parents all laughing together.
Oh, yeah.
They're obviously connecting and supporting each other.
I love that picture.
It's like a visual reminder that we don't have to do this parenting thing alone.
It really shows the power of community and sharing experiences.
Yeah. Whether it's parent support groups, online forums, or even just friends who get it.
Yeah.
Having that support network is so important.
It really is. Sharing stories.
Yeah.
Giving each other tips. Offering encouragement. Just knowing you're not the only one going through it.
It makes such a difference. And you know, one thing that's always amazed me is how many of the things we face as parents are universal.
It's so true.
It doesn't matter your background or how much money you have or your parenting style.
Yeah.
There are just some things every parent deals with.
Absolutely.
The need for connection, wanting to communicate well, struggling to set boundaries, taking care of ourselves.
It's all part of being a parent.
And realizing that we're all in the same boat can be really comforting.
It really can. It helps us feel less alone and more connected to all the other parents out there who are figuring it out as they go.
I love that. Now, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to go back to something you said earlier about embracing the journey.
Okay.
Embracing the ups and downs, the surprises of parenting, looking back at the pictures you chose. Is there one that really captures that for you?
There's one that pops into my head right away. It's a picture of a parent and child covered in paint.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the middle of some art project that's gone totally crazy.
I remember that one.
But they're both smiling and having a blast.
It's not about those picture-perfect moments. It's about enjoying the mess, the unexpected, the fun.
Exactly. Yeah. It reminds us to let go of trying to control everything.
Yeah.
And just enjoy the ride.
Parenting is an adventure, not a destination.
I like that.
And that brings me to a question I want to leave our listeners with. We've talked about all these different parenting styles and approaches, but at the end of the day, what matters most is the legacy we want to leave our kids.
Mm-hmm.
What values, what beliefs, what character traits do we hope to pass on? And how can we show that in what we do and say every day?
That's a really important question.
Yeah.
And I think every parent should think about it.
Mm.
It's so easy to get lost in the daily grind of parenting.
Right.
But taking the time to think about what really matters.
Yeah.
what kind of impact we want to have in our kids' lives. It can really help us stay focused.
I agree. It's about remembering that being a parent is about so much more than just providing food and shelter and education.
Right.
We're shaping the next generation.
That's powerful.
It is. Well, expert speaker, I think that's the perfect way to end our conversation. Thank you so much for being here on The Deep Dive.
It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into parent-child relationships. We hope you learned something new today. And remember, you're not alone in this. Trust your instincts, embrace the chaos, ask for help when you need it, and most importantly, cherish those precious moments with your kids. They grow up so fast.